This is the Inferno Podcast. It's the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place every week for an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Welcome into the Inferno Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Griffin, and we've got a great show for you today for Season 2, Episode 1, as we head into August 2025 here. As always, today's episode rundown is brought to you by Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. Today on the show, well, first game is what, 2-3 weeks away? We're heading into fall camp, getting in those dog days a little bit. We will talk to Lyle Henley, the assistant head coach for UAB football, also the director of sports performance. Get his take. He spends more time with the players than anybody on what's going on at fall camp. Also, running back Solomon Beebe, newcomer to the program, only been here a year, earned a scholarship. He's going to be a big part of that running back room and the return game for sure. So we'll talk to Solomon as well. And in general, the fall camp, getting the feel for the Blazers and where they are here in early August. As always, you can follow us on social media. Just take a look at which one there that fits you, YouTube, Twitter, whatever that is. And don't forget the website, uabsports.com as well. So let's take a break. We'll come back and begin the show, the Inferno Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1. Thanks for watching. We'll be back in a moment.
Brent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. I want to tell you about my friends at Legacy Credit Union. Legacy began as University Credit Union in 1955 and remains committed to UAB faculty, students, alumni, and fans. Not only do they support the Birmingham community, but they are also proud sponsors of UAB and UAB Athletics. Visit LegacyCreditUnion.com and find out why you should become a member today.
Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 1 here with the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here with the Coach's Corner with the Director of Sports Performance, Lyle Henley. Of course, this is brought to you by Pepsi and Viva Health. Coach, how are you today?
Doing great. How about you?
Now, we got to add a title to that. I saw you glance at me when I said Director of Sports Performance. It's Assistant Head Coach now,
yes.
Which is weird. No, you know, indictment of you,
right.
That a strength coach, basically,
definitely,
is an assistant head coach. So tell me about that.
Oh, you know, it's just Coach Dilfer presented it to me early on when I first came on with him when he got here year one. It was an idea that he had had, and it's something that, as we earned a trust and things kept going on, that was presented to me this year, and I jumped on it. So, you know, we spend a lot of time with the kids, earned a lot of the trust, and do a lot of things with the coach, and you want to cast his vision, whatever he wants to do. And there's a few of them out there across the nation that are assistant head coach. Very honored to be it.
Yeah, that's that take you by surprise a little bit? Or
yeah. When it was first mentioned to me, 3 years ago, but then, you know, I felt like it was something that we had been both working towards. And so, very honored.
So we've been talking about it because if you think about it, their position coaches spend a ton of time with them, especially in season, obviously.
Right.
But nobody's spending the amount of time with players like you are.
That's correct.
I would think it's, 3-1, maybe more?
Sure. But us and the athletic training staff, and probably the third would be the equipment staff and then the coaches. But, we spend year-round. We're with them year-round.
So let's talk about that, because I think in our minds you're, you know, doing plyometrics or benching or pushing sleds or whatever you're doing. But you can't be doing that if you're spending – 3-1 the amount of time, right? So there's more to it. So
sure.
give us an idea of what else is happening there? Because I'm sure you're a psychologist, strength coach, sure. friend.
Sure. You know, the training's the easy part in the whole thing. You know, that's what, you know, like I said, it's that is a vacation that turned into a vocation, right? So that's how we kind of like think of it in the strength conditioning world. So when you're out on the field and you're running guys through on the field stuff or in the weight room, that's kind of your time to kind of let loose and do what you do. But, you know, outside of that, you're spending all types, you know, these kids are young men going out into the world that you're trying, number one, create great young men. So you're spending a lot of time with character, things of that sort, working on, you know, the day-to-day things. Like, you know, some of these kids hadn't changed a tire on their truck before. So, you know, coach, you got a flat, who would I call, what to do? All right, let's take you outside and show you to change the tire. You know what I mean? It's something that simple. And it could be something as complex as, you know, there's the way the NCAA and we're set up in our today is like the kids have a lot of decisions. Opens up twice. People are calling contact to them. So you got a lot of guys that are coming sitting in your office like, coach, I don't know what to do. I've got the decision. So it can be as minor as changing a tire or as major as like what next step do I need to make in this decision in my life? So, yes, it is an all-encompassing area that we're involved in.
So if they're changing a tire, obviously two offensive linemen have to hold up.
Oh, absolutely.
You know he's a carjack
yeah,
if you're a strength coach.
Oh, yeah. That's too easy.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what factor are you percentage-wise probably? You got the Scott Cochran screaming coach factor, right? The motivation
right.
factor.
Yes.
And then you've got the technical blue at Alabama or these other guys that are
yes.
out there. So tell me your style,
I mean, you've got to at least, you don't have to be a sports scientist, but you need to be able to understand sports science to be able to carry out your job. You know, I've been in this almost 29 years now. So, you know, I came up with the old school side of it, you know, with, you know, get after the guys, hold them accountable in what you do. And there's a time and place for all those. You know, I would say I'm a kind of a mix of both. But in the areas that I'm not as good at, that's why I make sure to hire good guys on my staff. So I've got, you know, Kenan York helps me with the sports science deal. Mm-hmm. Jake Venables helps me with, you know, being able to be hard on the guys and get them tough in the weight room. And then Santonio Jones is another one of my guys that works with us, and he kind of balances us all out. You know, he's kind of the calm, cool collective. He's got some years underneath his belt and being in life, he's ex-military. So like he kind of gives us his perspective on things. So we bounce ideas off of each other, but we try to stay as balanced as we can through this whole process.
What is your strength, you think, pardon the pun, your strength in your job in relating to players?
You know, I think number one, I try to listen to everybody. That's number one. I want to listen to the problems. I try to, you know, put myself in their shoes. I look at the players as, you know, I've got two children that are both going to be in the ninth grade. I've got a daughter mm-hmm. and a son. And I try to treat them the same way as I would my children. You know, I try to show them a respect. If when my kids go to college, I hope that somebody treats them with respect and listens to their problems and makes the best decisions for them and try to guide them along the way. I try to do the same thing for all of our players, always have and I always will. The players will always come first.
Lyle Henley, our guest here on Coach's Corner, of course, Director of Sports Performance, Assistant Head Coach for football. So talk a little bit about 10 years here. You see atmospheres. You kind of can gauge the room, so to speak. I bet as you look at results from football seasons record-wise mm-hmm. and how successful you are,
right.
you can probably, and I may be wrong, but you can probably identify how the offseason went, the attitude in the weight room to do that work, the ugly, dirty work.
Sure.
Is that an accurate statement?
That would be pretty accurate, yes.
All right, so we all want to know, what's it look like heading into this year?
So I would say, if you were to go back and look at the course of the last 10 years, the most talented teams weren't always the most successful, right? It was always the ones that came together and were able to form this culture, this brotherhood, and then in some kind of sick way, enjoy doing hard things. And that was a big emphasis for us this offseason with Coach Dilfer. It was like, we're going to do hard things. We're going to try. We want to find out who we have in the offseason and not in fall camp when it's too late. So, you know, we really put emphasis on pushing the players, you know, to the max, kind of went a little bit old school on it, but, you know, with a little science built in between to be able to identify what these players are doing. I will say this, it's a little different this year as far as camaraderie, as far as competition, as far as it goes, and a healthy competition. I have guys that, you know, you see them now, they're walking around practice an hour or two early. It looks like they're getting ready for pregame. There's a focus, there's a professionalism about them right now. You would hope that those things, and they have in the past, will be able to reflect themselves in season. And, I think right now that we're heading in that direction to be able to, to have a successful season, but you never know until the lights come on.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But we have thrown almost every scenario at them to be able to, get a predictor for what that might be. And we feel good right now, but I think everybody across the nation feels good. We'll see where it stands, when the lights come on.
So when you've got a guy and you're pushing him, and to me, here's the fascinating thing about your job. You want to have a program for the football team, but obviously the offensive linemen are doing things the defensive backs are not doing, probably on some things. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing this out there.
Right.
But then also each individual, it's got to be individualized.
Sure.
Because this guy may lack lower body explosion.
Sure.
And so it's very technical, but at the end of the day, you're responsible as a coach of a bunch of guys.
Right.
While also being an individual coach.
Sure.
I don't even know if there's a question in there, but you know what I'm saying on that.
No, there is. Like I said, the atmosphere of what we're dealing is a little bit different than what we dealt with in the past. Whereas you were getting the guy, 4 or 5 years ago in the beginning, and you set down a pretty clear pathway for them over the next 4 to 5 years. You could work them in blocks in their training, and they were going to kind of fill all those buckets along the way to where most of the guys, we had always been a developmental program in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And been able to take those guys and by their, redshirt, sophomore, junior, senior year, know who they are and what they are. You don't have that world now. It's a world of, we've got guys showing up in, basically June that's got to play for us in August that have been multiple places, that have been in and out of, multiple programs, so they don't really have that baseline. So what we do with our guys is we do a profiling system. So we profile, take them through about 16 different tests and find out what those guys don't do well. And they're placed in a group based on what they don't do well, right? So instead of, most of the guys in the way that we set up our training is instead of just offensive linemen or defensive backs or wide receivers, you're putting a group based on what you don't do well. So we're able to move that needle in the direction for which they don't. So we try to bring them the balance. The better at balance we can get them to the best version of themselves, the less likely you are to get hurt, and they improve their number one ability, which is availability. So that's what we try to do in that short amount of time. If we're able, given the luxury of having them for a couple of years, they move on to getting back into a position group. But most of the new guys will stay in that profiling system for a while until we feel comfortable about throwing them in a bigger group.
Talk about how it's kind of evolved because, not that long ago you would lift winter, of course, summer.
Yes.
And then you might not lift much during the year. Well, I think that is out the window. And then I think even the Bulls, back in their championship runs in the NBA, their metrics said that when they lifted 70-80% of their maximum for a set or two, certainly not 4 or 5 sets,
right,
on game day, their studies showed they ran faster and all those kind of things. Now, you're not lifting on game days, but the question is, there's more lifting going on around the game or the day after the game or whatever, as far as data that supports that, right?
Sure, yeah. So, we'll have two programs that we go into when fall camp is over. We'll have a development on our dev group program. We'll have an in-season lifting program. The in-season lifting program are the guys that are pretty much going to travel or start, right? And if you're getting more than 20 to 30 snaps a game, less than 20 to 30 snaps a game, you're going to be in this developmental program. So you're lifting 5 to 6 days a week sometime, for sure 5, and that is – uninterrupted training for the next 16 to 18 weeks. So that's the biggest jump you'll ever make in your career. And that's what most programs are missing right there. But the in-season guys, we're going to get them on a 3-day lift right there. Basically, we're going to hit them the day after the game is we're going to do our most intensive lift, so once we're trying to keep our strength levels up, our absolute training, then we're going to, do some force plate things to see where they recovered from the game. During the middle of the week right there, it was kind of a field of buckets today to where we're individualized still some of their training in season to see what guys need on an individual basis. And then we do a dynamic training 48 hours outside of the game. We force play them again so we can get a readiness score to see what they need to work on over the next 48 hours leading up into the game. So that gives us a great picture of what we do. And even inside there might be, you know, some bigs or some freshmen or, you know, guys that weren't fully developed through the transfer portal that have to play for us that still we don't feel like are to the correct, baseline of where we need to be them.
Yeah.
And so we'll grab a hybrid day and throw them in there. So some of those guys might get a four-day lift even in season. So, yes, we're trying to get stronger as the season goes on. We give these guys – one cool thing we do is called a momentum score, where we were looking at their vertical jump throughout the season twice a week, and we're looking at their weight, and we take that kind of a formula and put it together, show them the importance of increasing power through the season as well as maintaining lean body mass, and that gives them a momentum score. So it's basically how hard you hit somebody or how well you can take a hit. So we want that to grow as the season goes on as well, to be available towards the end of the season.
So you're saying it's disorganized. It's just haphazard.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Organized chaos is what it is. Yes.
No, that, I mean, that's what I was wondering why I want people to hear, that it's just – it's way more to it than –
sure.
All right, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we've got squats, deadlifts, you know, leg lunges, and, you know, no.
Right.
We've got all kind of stuff here. The running backs at UAB have been phenomenal.
Sure.
They should be this year, and we're going to talk to Solomon Beebe here in a moment, but it's not luck, right? You can identify talent.
Right.
But it's got to be developed in the weight room and
sure.
on the field and all that. So
sure.
Why the success of running backs in your 10 years here?
You know, I think it started early. We had a really good group that beginning year, with a guy we had, Greg Bryant, rest in peace.
Yeah.
I think he was one of the most unbelievable athletes that I've ever seen in my life. You know, even in that short period that we had him, he kind of set a precedence the way that he worked and he enjoyed training. We bring in after that Spencer Brown, and he was here, and then it went on to, you know, to just down the line, you know, Jermaine Brown, you know, Dwayne McBride, Lee Beebe, you know, it just keeps going on and on and on. So through that whole process, those guys that were took the next step and they became the starter, they had been under somebody that was there before showing them the way. And so I would say, you know, in Isaiah Jacobs is another guy right there. Like if you look at that rack where the running backs lift, there's always no nonsense. There's always a huge competition. There's Javon Jackson's one of the new guys here, which, I mean, he fit right into this mold of what we're doing. You know, Solomon Beebe, but they've been underneath these guys, and they just kind of keep paying it forward to the next. And I think that's the biggest thing of what has led to success over the years.
And that's the way to do it, right? You see, if you can plan it that way, a guy's a junior, senior, a guy younger, and they see that example, and it just regurgitates.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Constantly. The work on the field, in the weight room.
Right.
All that stuff,
yes.
Right? Before I ask you about the hair, because everybody's going to know about that, but – back to the assistant head coach, and congratulations on the title again.
Thank you.
Is that a consistent weekly meeting with Trent and you discuss things? Is it just as needed, or kind of tell us the dynamic of that week to week?
As far as the in-season training goes?
No, as far as your title as assistant head coach, what is Trent sharing with you, bouncing off you? Because you're second in command, right?
Yeah, well, basically, yes. Yeah, so,
I mean, if it's for baseball, he's kicked out of the game, you're the manager.
Yeah.
Now, he's not going to get kicked out of the game, probably,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you know
sure
what I'm
hope
saying.
Not, right.
Yeah.
He knows that we spend a lot of time with the guys, and, you know, he's going to, as we get done, like, it could be something, it's a daily basis for sure. So once I go up after lift and come to, hey, how are the girls? What's the attitude? You know, how are the guys feeling today? What are you seeing out there? You know, it's just another guy for me to bounce ideas off of. You know, I was thinking about doing this. How do you think the guys are accepted? Or, hey, we're going to do this. Here's how I want you to implement it to the guys, you know. And, you know, everybody in the building to have to be successful needs to be speaking the same language.
Right.
So, you know, there has to be that connection right there. And I think we do a good job of, like, you know, you've got the top of the building and the bottom of the building. We're at the bottom with, you know, the trainers and everybody and support staff, and they're top, and he's pressing the message and make sure that we're connecting it downstairs, and then it flows into the players. And, you know, we sure want to be on the same page.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that. What about the haircut? Where'd that come from? Is that a wife thing? What is that?
No, it's definitely not a wife thing, but it's funny because she usually cuts my hair. But, you know, it for 17 years, probably about a year after I got married, my wife wanted me to shave my head, and so I shaved my head.
Any reason?
I don't know. I think that she
just shave your
head? She
probably
thought it was funny,
command?
So, you know, hey, sure, I'll try it, you know. So I shaved my head, and I did that for 17 years. I had a shaved head. I had it my first season here, and then the second season, we had lost a bunch of seniors, so 2019. And I was like, you know, we've got to do things. We've won this championship in 2018. We've lost, 44 seniors, I think that was at the time.
It's
like, now that we've done something that had never been done before, we've got to do something else that's never been done before. Because that was kind of our battle cry, do something. You know, what else is there? What can we do? And they're like, you know, why don't you? And one of the players one day is, well, why don't you do something you've never done before? Why don't you grow hair? You know, this guy's funny. And I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll grow out a mohawk. And if we get to the championship game, which it didn't look early on like we were going to, I said, I will paint it green in the championship game. So, sure enough, we find our way to the championship game. It's 2019, so I'm sitting there on a Tuesday. I said, I've got to go tell Coach Clark that I've got to paint my hair green. Anybody knows Coach Clark? Coach Clark's a no-nonsense
guy,
right? And so I go in his office, and I said, you know, hey, Coach, I've got to paint my mohawk green. He's like, well, did you promise it to the player? So, yeah. He said, well, you got to do it. And so that's how that came about. And
Not green now, though.
It's not green now because, you know, 2019 we didn't win that game, so it was never green again. And
but you liked it or something?
I just stuck with it, but kind of became a thing. And then, like, last year I shaved it, and I'll come in, and everybody's like, what happened to the mohawk, you know? And,
yeah.
You know, so grew it back, and here we are.
All right, so what's the maintenance on that thing?
You know,
is there grease involved?
It's not, there's a lot of pomade, I think they call
pomade.
It. Pomade. Yeah, that's the secret there, keeping it high and tight. Yeah, that's right.
Short hair, pomade on
top. That's right. I mean, I'll skin it down here when we get ready for the game. So, yeah.
That's good. That's good. Well, congratulations again.
Thank you.
Director of Sports Performance, Lyle Henley, and, of course, the assistant head coach there. We wish you a great year. No injuries. Let's get through the year and build some wins. So that's our Coach's Corner with Lyle Henley. Again, brought to you by Pepsi and Viva Health. Coming up is the Blazer of the Week. An amazing story. Solomon Beebe, the running back. We kind of talked about running backs. He'll be coming up next on the Inferno Podcast.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank, embrace the if in life.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here. We got our Blazer of the Week this week. It is Solomon Beebe. The last name probably sounds familiar because his brother was here last year. He was here last year. Now he's the man here as the main running back, at least right now, for the UAB Blazers. Solomon, thanks for hanging out with us. How are you?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm good.
I thought you might be limping or coming in here sore, but we're early in fall camp, right? Hadn't started yet?
It definitely started, but don't worry. Don't worry, I'm going to get back.
It'll be there, right?
It'll be there, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we want to kind of talk a little bit about your background because it's not like you got 2,000 yards in your career at UAB, you know, right?
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. I like that. Yeah. So sophomore coming in from Park Crossings in Montgomery, good career there. But you had to walk on to UAB. So tell me why UAB in that process, and I'm sure you had offers, so how you weighed offers with the walk-on.
Okay, so in high school, surprisingly, I had no offers.
Oh, no offers.
Mm-hmm, and no stars. So I was doing my thing at Park Crossing over here in Montgomery, and my brother, he was here back while I was still in high school, and I still remember this to this day. He said he gave Coach Brigham, he told him about me to watch my film back in high school, and then from there, then point onward, I began to look at from UAB. So, and that really helped, my brother helped me to walk on.
Wow. So, yeah, and we'll get into him. He's not here anymore.
No, but
he was. So that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, talk about just that, working through that to finally you got rewarded with a scholarship. But let's just talk about the walk on until that time happened. You just put your head down and work. What do you do?
So really, I put my head down at work. I have fun here and there, but really my main focus was strictly football. Like parties, I don't really do parties. So, and all that other stuff like outside. Like my goal is to make it to the NFL. So, for me to get there, I got to get a scholarship. That's what I was all in my head back
right
then. So, the road to getting it, I mean, it was vigorous. I had to from coming here. It was like a, what you call it? I had an expectation.
Yeah.
So I had to exceed that expectation. And then I believe my brother helped me out through that. And all the other running backs like Isaiah, Lee, my money, all of them. So they helped me become who I am.
I was going to say, your brother had to help.
Yeah.
Picking here. I'm sure you could have walked on it several plays, but picking here and then doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting through that year, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, well,
how did he help you?
Honestly, in every way, like, I won't say schoolwork, but yeah, he helped me with especially football, kind of get the plays. If I ever messed up, he was there to help me out too, on the field, off the field. He got me to and from places. So yeah, he really helped me, and really in ways I really didn't realize from till now.
Yeah. All right. So I think it's amazing to get a scholarship within about a year. Okay, so tell us about how that happened, because we've seen all these internet videos of how coaches do it, but yours was kind of quiet.
Yeah, I mean, so end of the year, got to go in the coach's office, you know, and it's the coach basically said, we're going to offer you, and it's going to start, like, this year. So going to start this year. Okay, cool, thank you, coach. I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to do what I've always been doing, and all this was just work, so yeah.
Yeah. Was that a walk out of his office and
yes
moment? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it had to be, right?
It was. I was too excited to get to work.
So describe your style, because I've got an impression, because I watched some of your Park Crossing stuff. To me, it's Percy Harvin. You remember him from Florida, right? He was a little a compact back, played in the NFL a little bit, really terrific player for the Gators. But he could get 0 to 60, you know, in about a second. You seem to hit top speed quickly. Is that accurate to you?
Yeah, it's accurate.
All right, so tell me about what you see and what you feel when you're out there running.
Really, I feel like my mobility, agility is like Alvin Kamara. It's a little something.
Kamara,
like
I see that, yeah.
But I really love the juke, like Barry Sanders. Yeah, I've been trying to juke here and there, but my play style is really, what's his name? I'm not gonna say Nick Chubb.
Well, you've mentioned many.
Yeah,
there.
It's a lot. It's a lot of people I'm kind of like, but I really try to do my own thing.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say. I mean, people could say, "Well, I emulate Barry Sanders or Kamara or whomever." Mm-hmm. You know, Gibbs for the Lions. But when you've got the ball and you're going around in, you're really just.
That's really instincts.
Yeah,
I've been doing this since little league.
It's just finding a hole and going, right?
Find a hole and go. If you ain't no hole, just knife it, see what you can get.
Yeah.
That's what I had to learn when I came to college, really.
So when you came out of high school, it was like a 4.55 40. Is that accurate?
I think it was like, 4.5.
But now you're what?
Like 4.4.
I guess we should get Henley in here talking about that. That helps, right? But yeah, you don't look 4.55. You look faster than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are some other things you think you do well? I think you catch the ball well, because sometimes you'll line up slot and come back, or vice versa. And just give me an idea of you as a football player.
So really, I'm versatile. Like, I can go. I'm not gonna say quarterback. I can't.
But you've run some Wildcat.
Yeah, that's Wildcat. Well, I think Wildcat.
That's not really quarterback.
Nah, that's just catch it and then go.
Right, exactly.
But no, I'm really versatile. I can go to slot, wide receiver, running back, defense. I'm gonna leave that to them. I like to hold the ball.
What are we trying to be Travis over here?
Travis?
Yeah.
Nah.
From Colorado?
No. He got that. He can have ball.
Are you suggesting you can play defense some?
Oh,
okay.
No, I know I can't.
Okay. I got you. But slot or running back and different things. So you can catch the ball.
I'm used to playing slot and running back. So all my life I've been playing wide receiver and running back. So it's really like it's just secondhand nature with me. Yeah.
That's huge. Now, what do you got to work on?
Ooh, I really got.
Is that a long list?
Nah. Maybe. But now one thing I do work is my stamina. I got to keep that up. Yeah, that's one thing I work on, because after a long run, you know, you get gassed a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. But, like, after a long run, I got to, you know what I'm saying, work at it, keep it up so I can go back and get and run another one.
I got you. So Lee Beebe, who was your brother, who was terrific here, ends up transferring to Indiana. That happens. Was that difficult to see him?
Oh, no. No.
Because it really kind of opens the door for you, right?
I mean, yeah, but difficult? Nah, because I always want to see my brother go, you know what I'm saying, do big things. So, really, I was excited for him to go, really, for real. And then with me being here, I still had the other running back, Isaiah. JJ came in. He's good, too. Coach Danny Mitchell, he helped me for real.
Yeah.
In a good way. So, with him leaving, I was just happy he went somewhere to get more recognition, you know? Yeah.
So where are we at in summer camp? What's happening right now? It's very early, obviously. Yeah, but
it's second week.
Yeah. So what are we doing out there? Just
we hitting. We out there hitting. I mean, I'm banged up a little bit here and there. I ain't gonna speak on everybody else, but you know, they hitting, but I'm making my plays here and there. They doing their thing too, defense, you know, they stopping us. We going off on them too. So it's a real fun experience.
As you look back now, I think Kitna being quarterback and getting those reps that he got at the end of the year with Zeno out. So that's going to help him, right? Do you see that from him in the offensive?
Yeah, I feel like you're talking about from last year, right?
Yeah, and then now heading into this year, he's got all those reps last year, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to help him a lot, you know what I'm saying, for us to win. I'm trying to win the Natty. That's what I'm trying to do. So hopefully with that helping him, we can go push all the way over there to there.
Is it talked about? Because last year was a very difficult year in the locker room. Is that a player thing that you guys are like, we want to get that taste out of our mouth, right?
About losing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate losing. You know, I've known it for too long. I'm trying to get rid of it, you know. Like, I love to win. And when I lose, I get bad. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah.
I get, like, upset stomach. I'm going to say upset stomach, but, like, you know, in your stomach, you can be like, dang, we should have won. Especially
it gnaws at you.
Yeah. Yeah, it gnaws at me. But, nah, I love to win.
Yeah,
that's what we're going to do this year.
All right, so tell me about your running back. You've referenced him, Isaiah Jacobs, of course, and others. You got to have more than one running back, even though you're probably going to be the starter now. So tell me about the running back room.
I remember everybody in there is like a good – everybody in there is a good vibe. Isaiah, I see him as a good leader, you know, our leader. JJ, he's a good dude too. All of them are great. Not saying like one of them is bad, but all of them, everybody have their own style. Like I have mine.
Yeah.
Isaiah had his. Like I say, Isaiah and JJ, they're like the ones, the big guys. You know what I'm saying? The dudes out. Along with Amari Brundage. You know, he's one of those big hitters too. We call him So, but me, I like to do the shiftiness.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Me and the new buck, a young man. What's his name? Drew. Came in, I feel like he can be like real shitty with it too. I see the potential in it.
That's good. It's always an interesting dynamic when you're talking about a running back room, wide receiver room, whatever. But at your position, it's kind of like quarterback. Usually only one plays at a time. But you're always close to your teammates. But they want to play. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting dynamic. Is that problematic or?
No, it's not.
Not really?
No, not really, because we implemented something new this year. I ain't going, but we implemented something new this year. So, you know what I'm saying? More of us can, get some more shots out on the field. Especially mm-hmm. in practice, everybody getting shots now. So it's really just whenever your opportunity comes up, got to go and get it. For real.
I got you. So that's awesome. Solomon Beebe, our guest, the Blazer of the Week, the preseason all-conference. I can't get over that. Again, coming in with less than 100 yards, but 300-plus on kickoff returns. Let's do a lightning round now. Find out a little bit about you, like we talked to Henley about his mohawk and different things. Mm-hmm. So let's find out a little bit about you.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah. So what's your favorite thing to do non-football? You need to get away. You practiced. You lifted. I need to go home and chill or do what? What do you do to get your mind right?
I got a couple things. I love to play the game. Warzone, Call of Duty Warzone. I love to play that with my brother and most of the running back room. That's really who I play with. Besides that, all I do is sleep. That's one thing to get
sleep.
Me back. That's one thing to get me back right, especially if it's like an afternoon and it's raining and I get out of practice and I take a nap. I'm almost back to 100% after that.
Now, are you playing sounds?
Sometimes I play some music here and there, but recently, I ain't playing no sounds.
You just hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the rack.
I just hit the bed. Sometimes I'll on my phone, then I just fall asleep naturally when I do that. If I do that, then it's just another regular night for me.
I got you.
Yeah.
What is the meal? If you had your last meal, what are you eating?
Ooh, last meal.
Everybody's got a bunch of favorite meals. But what is your go-to,
favorite meal, last meal? I'll say my mom's fried chicken. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what's special about it?
It's just my dude's fried chicken. That tastes so good.
Because it's mom's.
Yeah. Not just because it's mom's. It's like that.
Is it crunchy? Is it?
It's crispy. It's juicy with it too. Yeah.
So she knows how to cook it.
Oh, what? You know.
You'll get to have that when you go home, right?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna ask for it, Mama. If you see this, she is. But yeah, Mama gonna ask for it.
What kind of hobbies do you besides playing games and sleeping?
Oh, I love to draw. I'm a real artistic.
Really?
So, yeah, I've made a couple of art. I'm gonna say portraits, but I've made a couple of little art drawings here and there.
Seriously, what are you drawing? Of what, nature or people or?
Nah, it's not really my style. I really draw something cool.
Like abstract?
Abstract too. I did it one time. I kind of messed it up, but I really draw anything that I like. One time, some years ago, I drew Deadpool.
Really?
Yeah, I ain't got the picture on me now no more, but it was a nice picture. I kept it for a little minute until I couldn't keep it no more.
Do you have any of your drawings of mom's fridge, or what's happening?
Nah. They all went into my portfolio.
Oh, okay.
I think my Dukes or one of my family members had bought me a portfolio, put my drawings in.
I got you.
Yeah, and I put it in there. I got to find that portfolio now. You just brought something back.
So, are you studying, architecture or anything? Or do you even know what you want to do study-wise? Or?
That's not football?
Well, for school. What are you studying?
I'm doing computer science. Obviously, I love games, right?
Yeah.
I want to make my own game, video game. So I think, some computer science is a step to that. It's hard now, but once I get to it, my pops told me it's another language. It's like that. He gets it like that. So with his help and then school, so I should get it down sooner. Not sooner than later.
So a video game creator. All right, so what's in your head now? You've had to think about it to even be... What would you create?
Mm.
Not to put you on the spot, but just
it's cool.
Is it a sport or is it a war game kind of thing?
It's really just action games because that's really what I base. That's really all the only games I have besides sports like football and that's it, really football. But not really just the action games.
I got you. Do you have a favorite show, a favorite artist?
Ooh, talking about music artist?
Yeah.
Juice WRLD. Yeah, I love
what,
Juice.
What about him?
His music. It's some people may
it
think
moves
it's,
you.
Yeah, it's, you can get lit. You can get sad if you need it. You just for calm music. it's really just, some people might think he's just too depressive, but nah, some of his, you gotta listen, some of his music, it'd be tough, it'd be raw.
Is it pregame music for you?
No, it just like.
So that's not getting you in the mood music, that's just.
Getting the music is like, sometimes rock music.
Okay.
Like, I know.
Like rock?
Yeah, like one song like called Empire.
Yeah.
It's just nothing but music, boom, boom in your ear.
Okay, just to get you going.
Yeah, or sometimes some other little rap song, so, yeah.
What is a, do you have a TV show, movie, favorite movie?
Mm-hmm, definitely got a favorite movie. John Wick.
John Wick?
Yeah.
Which one? One of the 9 that they've put out now?
No, they'd be like,
there's like 5, right?
Five, yeah. But the
guy just don't die, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, he did, but the recent one that came out, that was like when he was alive.
Yeah.
So, but I think it really hooked me. I think it was the first one that hooked me for real good. And then the second one. And then the third one came out. And then the fourth one, it was smooth. It just, I'd seen some that I wasn't really rocking with. But I still like the movie franchise, though. I still got to watch Ballerina, too.
What?
That's the recent one called.
Ballerina?
It's called Ballerina, yeah.
Keanu doesn't have a lot of lines in the old movie. John Wick, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever.
No, not really. He just...
He's just bad.
He killed his dog, and so he got to come get you.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we wish you great luck. I mean, I think it's a fascinating story, and to get a scholarship and be first team preseason all conference and all those kind of things, it's just absolutely fantastic. We're looking forward to watching you play.
Yeah, thank you. I'm looking forward to playing too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Solomon Beebe, our Blazer of the Week. We'll take a break here on the Inferno Podcast. Come back with more. Hang on.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. Get out there and tackle your financial goals with a new credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy offers multiple credit cards for whatever your financial objectives are. You can begin earning rewards today with a credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy, the official credit union of UAB.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here. We got a lot to talk about, at least one sport, though, this week in Blazer Nation with soccer. It seems like early on in the school year, as it begins, soccer kind of jumps right into games, right? So that's exactly what's happening. On August 8th, the UAB men's soccer team has an exhibition match against Tennessee Wesleyan. It's a 7 o'clock kick at PNC Field, if you will. Now, the next day, it's the women's turn as UAB takes on South Alabama, another exhibition match, but that's a 6 o'clock start at PNC Field. And then a couple of days later, the men come back with yet another exhibition match, men's soccer against Belmont out of Nashville, once again a 7 o'clock start at PNC Field. So soccer galore coming in the next week or so at PNC. So check out some of the Blazer action there, and that's our Blazer Nation weekly schedule so far. And that's our show for the Inferno Podcast. So until next time, this is Scott Griffin saying so long. We'll see you next time on the Inferno Podcast.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.